Welcome to today's Hearthstone. Let's talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. Director of K-12 Instruction, Lowell Ernst with the Pella Community School District joins us on today's program to talk about the curriculum aspect of the Return to Learn plan. This is part two of a two-part conversation. Well, Lowell, it has been a very interesting summer thus far between all the things that happened with COVID-19 this spring, leading into some normalcy with baseball and softball here at the school and having some activities and students in the building once again doing workouts. It's been a very interesting time. Now, one of the big things that the district has worked on, and all districts in Iowa are working on, is a return to learn plan after school was essentially canceled and then online learning was offered as an option. We're talking more required learning. When we think about building a curriculum around this pandemic world we live in now, what are the key considerations that you have to follow as a district to make sure that we're balancing the educational needs of our students and the safety of our community?
Well, there's a couple of things that we want to make sure we're putting into our planning. And part of that is that we had students who missed 9 weeks of school this last spring. And so what do we do to help make sure that those are not deficits for the students going forward? And so the teachers have all gone through an analysis of what are the standards we would have normally taught, which ones did we teach in a virtual environment, and what's my confidence level that students actually have those now. They've passed that on to those sequential courses that come next, and they all are looking at their plans for what do I do about that? Is that something that naturally comes back up anyway? Aren't going to have to worry about reteaching it? Is it something I have to have a specific plan to reteach to be sure that all students have that? So that's been part of the whole thinking process that's been going on since March. And we feel like we've got a pretty good plan with that. And I think teachers feel very confident they're able to do that. From a move forward standpoint, we're now looking at what are some of those priority standards. We fully intend that if we come back this fall, we want to all be here. And if that's the case, we look at those standards we missed and we incorporate them into the ones that are moving forward and we go. If we were to be in a situation where we're ending up having to go back home again, then we have to take a look at what are the most important standards that we can teach, because the reality is you can't do as much online as you can do when you're face to face. And so that's that prioritization process that will take place for the future.
As a group of teachers and administrators, the challenge is that, you know, from outside looking in, you're trying to develop those standards for a kindergartner, say, who may not be able to because of a family member be in the building that often, all the way up to a senior in high school that's trying to prepare for college, or they're in the career academy or in the apprenticeship program. You know, as you try to navigate all of those different challenges with the staff you have, how do you kind of start piecing those puzzles together, knowing that you only have about a month or so to get that up and running? And at the same time, with how many things have changed in the last couple of months, I imagine that's a pretty daunting task.
It has been, but by the same token, I think our teachers are definitely up to the task. Their conversations that they had during the springtime, they did a wonderful job of collaborating with each other and having some of that dialogue. So I feel like they've gotten that to the point where they feel pretty good that they're not too worried that they're not in a position they need to be in right now. I think the biggest piece will be for us trying to navigate this concept of, if everybody isn't here, how do we deliver the same quality and rigor of those standards to the students who are at home as the ones who are here? That's why we really feel like as many students as possible need to be here, because it's very difficult to guarantee that equivalent status of those standards. We'll do the best we can, and I think they've got plans to get to that point, but it's going to be kind of a learn-as-we-go piece as well for some of those things if we end up in that situation.
Well, and what lessons were learned from this spring? Because I think what was interesting was a lot of schools decided to offer optional education and decided to offer, obviously, the remote technology. And you were able to take some surveys of teachers, and not 100% of students were participating. Now that it'll be a required element, no matter what happens, whether you're in the building or not, coming up next fall and winter, you know, how then do you try to take the lessons learned there and apply those? And how are you applying those this summer to make sure that we're getting closer to 100% participation, whether they're in the building or remote?
So there were a team of teachers that applied to be technology trainers for the district, and they have already met throughout June and have a first semester intensive training plan for the staff on what are the quality elements of teaching with technology that we learned about in the spring. One of the things we found is that student dialogue is extremely important to our curriculum, and to recreate that in an online environment takes some specific skills by the staff. And so some teachers were very adept at that. Some were learning as they went. And so that's the first stage right away. In those first month in the first PD sessions that'll happen during that first month, we are talking about products like a company called Seesaw, which allow us to interact with elementary age students to actually exchange dialogue and be able to do that. We're looking at Zoom breakout rooms for the middle school, high school, and Jefferson staffs, who they've already experimented with some of those, but kind of taking that next move to going from the video conferencing platform we were using to one which has more capabilities to put students into small groups, have great dialogue with each other, and do that problem solving that we would do if we were here on site. So I think that's some of the learning that took place from our experiences, and we have then turned that into a professional development plan, which will help us to grow in those areas throughout this next semester.
I think in this time of uncertainty, one of the things that I've noticed the most in terms of when I talk to people, many who are parents, is just that level of uncertainty that we've all felt. And obviously, when we return to action, whether that's sports coming up this fall or choir or a band or mainly when we're talking here, the classrooms, I think there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of hesitation. You know, when you think about then the district's priorities as a part of this return to learn plan, what are the things that will be emphasized that hopefully can maybe reassure parents or whatever that the schools are doing all they can to make sure that this learning does happen? And what are the maybe key areas that you will be trying to prioritize, knowing that you may not be able to get everything done because of the changes?
The one thing I think we can easily overlook heading into this is that social, emotional, and anxiety level that students have from not being here for 6 months. And so while we want to jump right back into the learning, and we will, we also need to take a look at how are we going to help students deal with those aspects. And some students truly like being at home. And so this idea of coming back to an environment that they're not quite as comfortable with can be anxiety producing for them. So we're going to make sure that we are ready with that. We've got actually plans that will take place in early August with staff to discuss those pieces and get ready for that. But then once the academic components do start to evolve, making sure that we are looking at a continual process, which we call a multi-tiered system of supports. And what do the students who are really struggling need? How do we develop that kind of in our smart lunch situation at the high school and some of the support programs we have at the middle schools and the elementaries, so that it's not a one-size-fits-all piece. We know what we want to teach to kids. That's already thoroughly outlined in the curriculum. But what are we going to do when we see students start to fall out of those situations? And how do we help students who need to be extended, and not be held back by students who maybe weren't as prepared to come back in that same time? So there are structures that were already in place from that MTSS system, and I think making sure that we truly dive into those and execute those will be a priority right from the beginning.
Once again, that was Director of K-12 Instruction at the Pella Community School District, Lowell Ernst. If you miss any of our Let's Talk programs, you can find them online daily at kniacableless.com under podcasts and subscribe through Google, Apple, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.